You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening to you, and welcome to the second hour of the show. I played you there a beautiful, beautiful song. I hope that you've enjoyed that song. What a way to usher us into our second and final hour of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. I'd certainly like to hear from you, right? And as you know by now, if you don't know, I wonder where you have been, and I'm judging you. Really, really judging you. But the number that you can use is +27734703520. That is the number that you can use. As you know, every single Wednesday, we do this thing called Entrepreneurship and Small Business Wednesday. And my guest this evening, it is Elder Dumisani Dube, who runs Dube Legal Practice, right? So we're talking to Dumisani Dube, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about his business, and we'll be going through some of the lessons, perhaps, that he has learned along the journey of entrepreneurship. And I believe that he's joining us on the line to let us in on his business. Good evening, Brother Dumisani.
Good evening, Tabitha. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. And yourself?
No, I'm not complaining, man.
Fantastic. We're saying that wherever you are, it seems like it's summer. It's getting to spring, at least this side of the world as well. Are you experiencing the same thing? Because it's no longer cold this side of South Africa.
Yeah, it's better. It's a bit better than South Africa.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. But thank you so much, my brother, for joining us this evening. We really, really appreciate it. As mentioned, every single Wednesday, we do this thing called Entrepreneurship and Small Business. And we talk to people like yourselves who are running their own businesses. And we'd like to just hear your journey, but also showcase what, of course, is your product or your service. But also there are some aspiring entrepreneurs as well that want to get into this space. So I've heard something about entrepreneurs, Brother Dumisani, before we start, that it's perhaps a very lonely journey. Do you find that it's the same with you?
Yes, it's not easy. Many times I thought maybe if I'd gone the corporate route, I'd be better off. It's not easy. There's no day which is, every other day is its own challenges.
Do you sometimes, like you said, feel like, or are you already on that road to going back to corporate?
No.
Okay.
I've come a long way to... Remember, I've been doing this for just more than 12 years.
I've been doing
various businesses, and I've no regrets. Ultimately, it's so rewarding, gives you freedom.
Okay, freedom. Apparently, freedom is an intangible asset that a lot of us who are working, my bosses will be listening. So a lot of us who are working, we don't have that freedom that suppose entrepreneurs have and all that. But I think that's a beautiful thing there. Tell us a little bit about yourself then, Brother Dumisani. Where were you born? What brought you into this space and the kind of business that you are running?
And I was born in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe in 1987.
Okay.
I'm an accidental businessman. My intentions was just to practice law.
Accidental?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Then one day law school, I think it was 2006-07.
Yeah.
One of my close friends got arrested in Zimbabwe. He was caught with gold and diamond worth $4 million.
Okay.
So I remember we were sitting outside our law school library. I started calculating.
Yeah.
Even if I would finish law school, go into full-time practice, how long would it take me to make that kind of money?
Yeah.
Remember that particular time, I think my friend was only 28.
Yeah.
But was caught with gold and diamond worth $8 million.
Yeah.
So it had a fundamental shift in my perspective towards life, business. And that's when I discovered real money is actually in business.
And not
in law.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that particular time, because I came from a humble background, law to me was a means to an end.
Yes.
I think I just had to take time and focus on my books. while just preparing my entrance into the world of business.
Okay. There's a question that I have that I always find interesting with lawyers. There's a thing about lawyer liar, especially, you know, in this very scenario that you've mentioned. Is that true, or we are just picking on you as lawyers?
No, it's not. It's not true.
So you don't lie.
No. It's just a different version of facts, and also depending on how, on the world outlook, on how you look at things.
Ah, Dumsani, let's be honest. Different version of the truth. And
when it comes to law, there's always a different version of facts, depending on your world outlook or perspective.
Okay. There's a different version of the truth. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so you had that scenario, your friend, and then starts realizing, no man, let me get into this space, and eventually then found that actually in this space you make more money if you are running a business. When did the business start?
I've tied my hand in everything.
Okay.
I think my first business I was buying and selling catering.
Okay.
I've tried printing, but immediately after graduating, I went into gold mining because I was servicing what normally calls Zamazamas.
Yes.
Zimbabwe is regulated as Moscow. In 0 to 1 million US dollars.
Yes.
So I used to service that bracket. Then eventually you start trying to pick your own claim through Ministry of Mines, advertising, and starting at the very best level. We are just doing artisanal mining. Then you grow from one challenge to the next. So basically that was my first business. And then due to the nature of my profession is a lot business opportunities. So you, at one time, I was running a fast food outlet.
Okay.
Which was turning over the top. And I think it's also one of my biggest regrets because at that particular time, what we're turning over is equivalent to 10 kgs of gold.
Sure.
Per month. So I then abandoned that business to try my luck in mining.
Yeah.
Which was not easy. But I also have no regrets because I've also made a bit of money from mining. Regards the law firm,
yeah,
I lost passion for legal practice. Like I've said, I was mainly servicing small scale miners, and doing a lot of public interest litigation where you represent clients for free. My main passion is public interest litigation.
Okay,
where you just take you matters for free on all pro bono basis.
Yes,
but then I was forced to fund that part of litigation, which then forced me to go into business.
They say business people get into business because of money, and you are saying you loved that pro bono litigation bit of it. Is that not a bit of a clash here?
No, for me, like I've said, law is a means
to an end.
I always enjoy fighting for the underdog. But also litigation and legal processes are too expensive. So basically through my practice of law, I've been forced to become a business person to fund litigation. And in the process I've also made a lot of money in business.
Okay. That's interesting.
My first love is the practice of law.
Is the practice of law.
Litigation where you take the state on human rights violations.
Yes.
Unfortunately, most of the work you'll be doing for free. I remember early in the days, I walked maybe 5 kilometers to the closest rural court to just defend peasants or farmers who couldn't afford legal representation. But I got so much fulfilled, more than the amount of money I've made from my business.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's really interesting. And then in terms of, you said, I know there's different types of law practice that one can choose in. And like I said, I'm just a novice in this space. You will correct me and correct my listeners as well. Which type of law do you then specialize in as Dube Legal Practice?
Yeah, we're boutique law firm. I have 10 lawyers and 16 support staff.
Okay.
Main primary focus is mining law. That's okay. Mining law. We've also gone into construction.
Yeah.
We're in the building, but this phase we're doing 625 low cost housing.
Okay.
The second phase also standard low cost housing.
Yeah.
So basically, we're a boutique law firm.
We're a boutique law firm.
Yeah, but our bread these days is buttered by commercial transactions.
By commercial transactions, yeah.
With your criminal litigation,
yeah,
your family law. But most of those things like criminal law, family law, there's no money. Money is actually incorporated.
Yes, in deals. Yes.
So you're enforced to balance the two.
Yeah. I've actually heard that there's no money in litigation, especially at, and I'm using very layman's terms, you know, at Tapelo, you know, level where I come to you and I say, hey, Mr. Dube, I've got this thing, I've got that. Can you help me? Apparently, most lawyers are like, no, that's not where they want to go. It is in the commercial space, because at least in the commercial space, when you deal with companies, trusts, or whatever, you are almost guaranteed, one, that you're going to get your money, but two, also the rates there a little bit, you know, very, very inviting. Is that true?
Yes, yeah, correct. Remember, I think 90% of the people need legal services cannot afford them.
90%.
For example, where we practice in Zim,
yeah,
my hourly rate is about $400 US.
Yeah.
But you never receive a service, it doesn't end that per month. So lawyers are already out of reach for those who need legal services.
Yeah.
Yes, but half the time, like I've said, our primary purpose of practice in law is we use it as a tool for social justice.
Yes.
And my mantra is, I don't turn away a client because they don't afford legal services. Some of my biggest transactions or relationships have got representing people proper, because ultimately, that's why I've learned for pro bono legal work. First time I left Zim, first time I was in a hotel, the first time I was on a flight, was as a result of a pro bono case I was doing. Yeah. I was doing a pro bono case which went international. Then I got a group of corporate executives who were interested in me.
Ah.
So half the time when I do pro bono, maybe you'll understand as a Christian that when you do something, God rewards you in a different way,
yes,
which you've not even expected.
Yes.
No, like this.
Yeah.
Like this, my first pro bono case was doing. I was representing 300 guys who were demonstrating for lack of jobs.
Mm.
It turned viral. From that case, I was able to be linked or to represent six of the biggest black executives on Johannesburg Stock Exchange at that particular time,
sure,
because of a similar case.
Yes, sure.
So that's why for me, pro bono litigation, I've had doors open.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's lovely. Okay, I suppose that would be God working there, you know, to open up opportunities for you, especially if you are using your skill to support people who cannot, I suppose, afford legal services. Because the truth of the matter is that you guys are really, really expensive, eh? And we need your services. And I'm quite shocked by that statistic that you mentioned there, that 90% of people cannot afford legal representation. And I was looking at myself saying, I think I'm in one of those 90% because this type of work is quite expensive. And it's great to really have lawyers like yourselves who are Christian in this space. And like you said, you don't turn clients away simply because they don't have money to pay you. So really, really love that. So our listeners, +27 734 703 520. That is +27 734 703 520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us. Don't worry, we'll be sharing Operator Dumsani's details at the end. In case maybe you might be needing his services there. Like I said, he specializes, of course, in litigation, but also, mining and construction there from a commercial space point of view. There is some little bit of work there. Now, tell me, Dumsani, how did you raise capital for your business? Or in this space, it's not needed?
Oh, it's capital intensive. I had two.
Okay.
I sold two of my properties
to set up
the law firm.
Sure.
In fact, before I set up the law firm,
yeah.
Remember, I was employed somewhere.
Yes.
I had reached ceiling. I think maybe the last 5 years of my employment.
Yeah.
I was making so much money in my other businesses than I was making in private practice.
Yeah.
So at the time, I wanted to incorporate an SME bank. Then one of my mentors says, "No, but chief, a lawyer.
Yeah.
Why don't you also open a law firm?"
Yes.
So that's how I opened the law firm.
Oh.
Initially, I wanted to open up a micro bank.
Mm.
Then I opened the law firm just to self-actualize.
Mm.
It then also reignited my passion for practice.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
then,
okay.
Yeah. Then that's how I opened. I just had to sell two of my properties to find my practice.
Oh wow! That's,
then
that's...
also in the process, I've also diversified.
Yes.
Into we hold the third biggest corporate claims in the country.
Sure, sure.
It was also an accident. Now we got them. Before there was this lithium crazy.
Yeah.
I had a debate with one of my church colleagues.
Yeah.
An argument that business people from our region don't make it in Zim. And I said, but chief, we're Christians.
Mm.
Let's do this challenge.
Mm.
Then we created a consortium. We are putting putting about 50 to 60,000 US dollars to bid for lithium claims.
Yeah.
But at the time no one knew it was lithium claims.
Yeah.
And we funded at paying consultants from Europe at the last phase of the transition.
Mm.
Zimbabwe cabinet just decided to cancel those tenders.
Mm.
So I was disheartened.
Mm.
Then in the process, one of the mining engineers I had used says, chief, there's this asset.
Mm.
Before the War of Independence, it was the third biggest copper mine in the country.
Mm.
Let's give it a go.
Mm.
It was the Chinese entity which was controlling it at the time that the boardroom fallout.
Mm.
So we've been holding on to those claims for the past 4 years.
Mm.
Actually, I won them 100%.
Mm.
Yeah, so when I acquired them, copper prices were their lowest in 48 years.
Yes.
But the year after, copper prices have just gone. So basically, that's what we've been doing.
Sure. That's
the biggest problem is we grow organic. Like I've said, my first passion is the practice of law.
Yes.
So I've just grown organic. From the few cents I make from my day-to-day work as a lawyer, I've just been investing that into mining, into property, construction.
Yeah.
Basically, that's how I've raised money from my legal work.
Look at you being modest there. With a little money, I put it in, housing. Ah, that's not true. It's not little money, Dumsani. Please, man.
No, compared to some of my peers. And
Yeah,
that's how we've grown. Yeah.
I get you. You know, some of us who don't know, you must just pour a few this side, man. Just the $1,000 in here, just this side, please.
No, we're actually expanding into South Africa because of the department of our work.
Yeah. That's really amazing. That's really amazing.
Yes.
And in terms of government, do they really support law firms in setting up or what's the space like that side?
Remember in Zim, there were affirmative action policies.
Yeah.
But because of the legal profession is is run by capitalists.
Yeah, I see.
The space is shrinking. There are too many regulations for entities to set up.
Yeah.
Back in the days, someone would just get a desk and a chair.
Yeah.
You just set up.
Yeah.
But for now, it's more difficult to set up a law firm than to set up a microbank. Because
okay.
the cake is small.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Now, talking about when you started then, right? You took your properties and everything, you put it into this law firm that you wanted to start, right? Dube Legal Practice. Now, tell me about your first client. Do you even remember them? What was the engagement like? How did you even land that first client? And I'm asking also because some of our listeners who may want to get into this space as well, maybe you can learn a thing or two. How did you land your first client? And do you even remember who they are?
As a law firm owner,
yes.
Honestly, I don't remember. Because I'm currently, maybe in the last 5 years,
yeah.
I'm one of the biggest money lawyers in the country.
Yes.
So when I left where I was employed, all my clients followed me. So
Ooh.
Yeah, because mining is a niche.
Yes.
Is a niche practice.
Yes.
So when I left, all my clients followed me. It also made it easy for political linked entities to also do business with me.
Okay.
Because at the time I no longer carried the political risk I carried in my previous employment.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Ah, okay. So because of what you do, so it sounds like it's more or less what we who are in the media space do, right? Where people follow us because it's a certain person. So if that person moves to another radio station, they move with them to that radio station because it's more about the person. So that's what you're saying as well. People follow certain people who are lawyers because of they've seen you do your work. They know how good you do your work. And so they know that they are safe with this particular lawyer as opposed to saying a law firm.
Yeah, it's more of relationships,
yeah.
like anything else in business.
Yeah.
Most of my clients have become my personal friends.
Ah, sure. You've got them on speed dial on WhatsApp and all that.
Yes.
Ah, that's so amazing. Okay. All right. And then how do you build your customer base going forward? Then is it word of mouth? Do your clients tell other people or you advertise, especially with the dawn of social media these days? Do you use social media and all those sort of stuff to, I suppose, advertise yourself and try and get more clients?
No, lawyers are not allowed to advertise.
Really?
Yeah, it's called touting.
Wow.
So it's a conservative. But half of my clients say that people have repeated in previous cases, even come to me or through reference.
Hey, man, why is there some sort of risk associated with lawyers advertising their services?
No, traditionally, remember, lawyers, the clergy and teachers were professionals.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it's that's the model which we're still using.
To
advertise because of the integrity of the profession.
The
primary purpose of practicing is not to make money.
It's
to provide legal services.
Okay, that's interesting. That's really interesting. I didn't know that. +2773 470 3520. +2773 470 3520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us then. Okay, let's talk about you then as an entrepreneur. I know you're a lawyer, but I'm sure you're an entrepreneur as well, running your own practice there. What is your day like? What time do you wake up? Do you go to bed like in the early AMs, you know how some people will tell you running a business, but running it as a law firm as well, takes a lot of work. You must sit at night and, look at cases, documents. What's that thing that, we always like precedents and all those sort of stuff. What's your typical day like as an entrepreneur and as a lawyer?
It's hectic because I'm multitasking running maybe at least 5 different businesses.
Yeah.
So, but my primary business is most of these days are just
I
no longer do a lot of litigation.
Okay.
I do one or two meters per month.
Yeah.
Half of the time I'm in board meetings,
at
the mine, construction site, and it's just hectic. I made a resolution a few years ago that I don't take legal work home.
Okay.
So at least I try and spend time with my kids. I also made a resolution to myself that in the morning I drive my kids to work.
To work,
So at least
yeah.
we can have time. Then on Sabbaths it's a rule, we spend time together as a family. And that's the only
Yes.
time I can spend with my kids.
Ah,
Because you see, the
fantastic.
biggest problem which well the way I was raised up. Yeah, I was raised up in an African setting where the
Yes.
father provides.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I also
Kept to that as
the
well.
same, yeah, where for me providence was important
Yeah.
than having relationships with the kids. For the last few years,
Ah.
I've been trying to change that aspect.
Yes.
But
Oh.
the nature of doing business in Africa is life was sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
Sure.
it's active. Like for
Sure.
example, if I went to the mine, extended the mine, I went to the mine 20 kilometers underground. At a board meeting with my other business partners, just got back home about a call. I leave maybe after 2 hours or so.
And I suppose you've had to sit with the family, particularly the kids, and tell them, look, this is the kind of, work that daddy does. So on these days I won't be around, but I will do as much as I possibly can to support you, as my children. Did you have to have those type of conversations?
My kids haven't to sit down and try and come to an understanding. Because, like I've said, remember, most of us think that if you give them $10,000, it's enough.
Yes.
But for them, it's more of relationships.
Yes.
I think maybe that's the reason why most of my peers are in trucks, guys who came from
Ish.
well-off families,
Ish.
because parents were able to provide for them
Yes.
financially, but they never had that relationship. So,
Yes.
I'm trying to not to make the same mistake, especially with
Yeah.
my kids.
Yeah.
We give them too much material things and not have personal time with them.
And not have personal time with them as well. Sure.
Yes.
That's amazing. Let's talk about then expectation and reality. 12 years into business, would you say some of the things that you were expecting to achieve, see materialize in business is what has over the last few years, or you found that it was a different ball game altogether?
Yeah, it's been hectic. Remember, we come from a setting where once you became a lawyer, a family is saying you don't need to be ambitious. You've achieved your dreams. There's no need for you to push.
Yeah.
But the more you make it, the more you discover that you haven't achieved anything.
Ish.
But
Ish.
I just count my blessings, man.
Yeah.
From a homeless kid who was at university, I had
Sure.
no relatives in Harare. I slept in a squatter camp. I just count my blessings.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I have no regrets. It
They
has
have
not
no
been easy.
regrets.
At one
Yeah.
time, I think early into the journey, one of my close friends was already a partner in a different law firm, came to me and said, "Chief, you should stop this mining business of yours." Because you see what was happening when my peers were buying their first houses, I was losing my money in business.
Hey,
When they were
hey.
buying their first cars, I was losing my money in deals.
Yeah.
It's like a track. Once you start, you never stop.
Once you start, you never stop.
Yeah. So I've no
Sure.
regrets. I'm counting my blessings. Years back, I made a promise to myself and to God that I'll not
Yeah.
leave Bulawayo. Zim, I'll make it from Zim here.
Yeah, yeah.
As a testament that God can bless you.
Yeah.
I believe I can compete globally, at least in Bulawayo, in a small
Whilst
country.
in Bulawayo, that's
Yes.
beautiful.
Because my competitive advantage is the grace of the Lord. So that's my stubborn faith. To those who are close to me, I've said to them, my dream, my hope is to create at least 10 billionaires from my region. Yes, dollar billionaires from my region. It sounds absurd, but God has shown me that it's possible. And I know it's possible. Remember the story of Genesis 26, where God speaks to Isaac. He says, "No, I made a promise with your father. There's no need for you to leave, even amidst drought. You will plant and you'll reap a hundredfold." So I've that promise to myself.
I think you've just ended this interview. Would you say that's what motivates you then, as a person and also as a business person?
Yeah, it's my stubborn faith in God that all things are possible through the grace of the Lord.
Ah, love it, love it, love it, love it. And then if we were to then, as we draw towards the end, if you were to be given the opportunity to do things a little bit more differently than how you have traversed your 12-year journey or thereabouts in business, is there anything you would do differently if you were to start all over again?
I'll start business tithing from day one.
Ah, okay.
It's a concept I discovered later on in as a businessman, that businesses have to tithe in the return offering to the Lord. That's how God can expand our enterprises.
Yeah.
So it's a concept I learned very late in life.
Yeah. Can you repeat that? Because I've never thought about it like that. Business tithing.
Yes. Our business is there to tithe. I'm 36 years. I've been in business for over 12 years.
Yeah.
I know that business is there to tithe. If you go back to the history of tithing, Abraham used to tithe in his business deals. And that's how God enlarged his territory.
Yo.
Even in our times, close friends were billionaires.
Yeah.
Dollar billionaires. They tithe from their businesses are tithing.
Yeah.
Because remember, a business is separate from its own shareholders and directors.
Yes, yes.
So it's a separate person.
Yes.
Half the time, we only want to tithe from our earnings or dividends as shareholders.
Mm.
But a business as a separate entity also has to tithe. Not for the purposes of tax rebates.
Sure.
But it's the loyalty and the sign of faithfulness to God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really powerful concept right there. And I hope our business people who are running businesses have taken that as well. And I love that, the fact that, you know, you said it really is a way in which we can get God to really bless our endeavors in business and all that. Love it. I've never heard it, but I'm loving that concept as you speak about it. What would you say is your most satisfying moment so far in business? I'm sure there was a big paycheck you signed and you're like, yes, I'm on the right track.
No, recently, I did a bottom takeover of a 50 million. It's a small mine by global standards, but it's a $50 million entity.
Yeah.
The first time we tried to take it over from Chinese, I think it was 4 years ago, with my business partner who was Muslim. It was during Ramadan.
Mm.
So this year, during Ramadan, we were able to conclude that transition. So I think it's, So, like I've said, I count my blessings. Remember, I came from nothing.
Yo.
So, I enjoy every part of the journey.
Yeah. Okay.
But the biggest one, like I've said, I think it's the copper deal.
Yeah.
With the biggest copper claims, I've been offered during COVID.
Yeah.
I acquired those claims during COVID for speculative purposes. I spent less than 5,000, maybe 100,000 rands.
Yeah.
During COVID, there's a time I was willing to sell them for 1 million rands.
Mm.
A week later, someone gave me an offer for about 200 million rands, which made me question. Remember, I'd pegged these assets. I'd never gone to that mine.
Mm.
So when I got that offer from the Americans, I decided to go to the mine. Then I discovered it's a huge copper mine.
Sure.
But I think it's one of my most treasured possessions. Also, because maybe historically it was during liberation struggle, it was a liberated zone where Zipra and Umkhonto weSizwe beat their arms.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I also see the end of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, out of everyone else, he gave me that specific asset to manage and to grow.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Yes. That's beautiful. And if you were to just in 10 seconds or so, where do you see yourself and your business in the next, say, 5 to 10 years? Because it sounds like you're already doing some big things, deals in the millions of US dollars. What's there for you from here?
20 years ago, I prayed to the Lord. Mm. I ended with Africa's youngest dollar billionaire. Mm. I think I'm... Maybe in the next 4 years, I'll reach that milestone.
Wait. Dollar billionaire in the next 4 years?
Yes.
Yo.
Remember, Zim transactions are or personally, making $1 million, it used to be very difficult.
Yeah.
But in Zimbabwe, it's easy. So in terms of the assets which I control directly,
yeah,
we have surpassed those things.
Sure.
So my prayer is that maybe in the next 4 years, I'll reach that thing.
Oh,
no one
wow.
has given me money. It's just been the grace of the Lord.
Yeah.
I've not borrowed money from the bank. I've just grown from failure to failure.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
beautiful.
Next 4 years.
That's
next beautiful. Time we talk in the next 4 years.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
I'll be there like, hey, man, you know, let's discuss where you are right now. And it would be really such a beautiful conversation to really have with you back at that time. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, conversation indeed. And there are people who maybe are looking at you, who want to be entrepreneurs as well. What would be your message of, I suppose, encouragement to them?
Yeah, it's not easy. You need to have a strong belief
yeah.
system. It's not easy.
Hmm.
You lose money, you make a lot of mistakes, and but you just have to keep fighting.
Hmm.
It's not easy. I think it's becoming a CEO of a Fortune 500 or on the Johannesburg Securities Exchange is easier than becoming a business person.
Mm.
Our friends who've chaired multinational entities on Johannesburg Securities Exchange, very good executives, but they failed in their private businesses. Private
sure.
business is not easy.
Sure.
Especially in a place like Zimbabwe. There's
yeah.
no funding, there's no support.
Yeah.
It just has to be a stubborn faith in,
yeah.
in the Lord.
Yeah.
Otherwise you won't survive.
Yeah. Sure. What a beautiful conversation I've had. That is, of course, Odumisani Dube, who runs Dube Legal Practice. He was telling us a little bit about his business within the legal space, looking after mining and construction, and some really great strides that he's made over the years. Thank you so much, my brother, and I look forward to reconnecting with you in 4 years from now, and maybe over tea and coffee then, so that we can really have some great conversation with our listeners over tea and coffee. But thank you so much for joining us, and may God bless you indeed.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate the honor to be invited. May also God bless you.
Thank you so much, my brother. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, our brother there, Odumisani Dube, telling us a little bit more about his legal business and what he has achieved. I hope that that conversation has been encouraging to you. For those of you who are looking at getting into business, but also looking at getting into the legal space there, it looks like Kumnandi Kwa Legal, and I hope that was an inspiring. We wish him nothing but the best, and definitely we'll be here to connect with him 4 years from now.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.